Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on a Friday. Here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance and Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contract, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. It is National Chocolate Chip Day. Oh, boy. Maybe I should make some cookies. I made some chocolate chip pancakes last weekend. So I think we need to discuss our love for chocolate today at some point. It is a free-for-all Friday. It is our first installment of a free-for-all Friday. What does a free-for-all Friday mean? It means it's you and me. Me and you, Laura and Greg, all of us together, no guests, well, except Ben, because we have Ben scheduled every week for the last segment on Friday to do the movie review for you. So it technically still is for you, but no guests. We're going to have fun. We're going to open up the phones. We're going to open up the Twitter. We're going to rock and roll together. Let's start here. So last night, I'm watching all the coverage on the stuff we were talking about yesterday with Blake Snell, the pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'm like, somewhat surprised, right? Like, the reason I was somewhat surprised was this. I was watching the coverage and I listened to a lot of different podcasts, or I popped on the radio or whatever. And I was surprised at how many people were just blindly defending Blake Snell. And the reason I say that is because, as I said yesterday, I'm not necessarily demeaning his messaging, per se. I'm demeaning the execution of his messaging and the application of it without understanding what the hell is going on in the world. And here's the deal. It's funny, I put this tweet out yesterday, and people were mad. I got ratioed on Twitter at like midnight last night. I wrote, "I'm stunned at the defense of Blake Snell. Yes, it's ridiculous for players to subsidize owners' losses. Owners put out the bait about finances, and the Major League Baseball Players Association and some of the players fell for it. Players lamenting finances publicly during a pandemic? Also ridiculous. Read the room." So I get all sorts of nasty stuff sent back my way, including some dude who goes by the name of Big Truss, at Truss, T-R-U-S-S, be told. At Truss, be told. Simply writes back, anti-labor Cuban, shocker. All right, listen, if you're going to invoke my heritage, needless to say, I know where you stand on this, which means you're probably not someone that can have a rational conversation or someone that can read. Because I literally said in my second sentence, yes, it's ridiculous for players to subsidize owners' losses. Here's the deal. I don't know what Cuban has anything to do with it. However, I guess you're saying because my parents fled a communist country? I don't know. Maybe that. I don't know. I guess that's what you're saying. I'm not anti-labor. You know what I am? I'm pro-common sense. Again, literally said, players subsidizing owners' losses is ridiculous. But I'd say this, negotiating money in public is exactly what the owners wanted. Okay? Exactly what the owners wanted. Major League Baseball, the Players Association, fell hook, line, and sinker. I mean, negotiating finances in public is so bleeping stupid. It makes no sense to me. Like, I don't even understand why you would do it. And now, we talked about it yesterday, but I want you to hear the audio of it. Here's Blake Snell, okay, saying he's risking, the risk of playing is too high compared to what he's getting paid. Let's hear that cut.
And for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? Like, you know, I'm sorry.
Here's what I would say. I understand the risk is high. If you would have just said, hey man, the risk is too high, I don't see myself playing, this would have been done. No one would have disagreed with you. It's just one of these things that once you invoke money, you're playing yourself, bro. And that's what the owners wanted you to do. They wanted you. And look, one thing is a player doing this. I had a bigger issue, as I mentioned the other day, with Tony Clark, the guy who runs the Players Association, saying this kind of nonsense. Because he should know better than some young guy who's on Twitch. Okay? But if he would have just said this, play the last cut, Laura, about where he says it's not worth playing.
I'm just saying, man, it just doesn't make sense for me to lose all of that money and then go play and then be on lockdown, not around my family, not around the people I love, and get paid way the hell less, and then the risk of injury runs every time I step on the field. It's just, it's not worth it. It's not. I love baseball to death. It's just not worth it.
I agree it's not worth it. But if it wasn't worth it, there wouldn't be a price tag on it, is what I would say. So you'd be willing to play for the $7 million as opposed to the $3.5 million? I just don't understand that. Like, that's just not good messaging. It's not smart messaging. And the optics do matter in this stuff. The move here was very simple. Okay? Say nothing. Talk about safety. Talk about health. Talk about how that is an issue. Then get yours at the negotiating table. Fight for what you need there, not on Twitch. The owners wanted you to do this because it puts the owners in a better light. And by the way, we all know they can sustain the losses a lot better. But what this proves, at least, and Twitter may be just a terrible place for this to happen because there is no such thing as nuance on Twitter. Because, again, me saying, hey, the players shouldn't subsidize the owner's losses, but, man, they really got duped into a losing proposition by arguing about money during a pandemic. And Twitter's reaction is, you're anti-labor! I mean, that's just stupid, too. But that's social media these days. But if you're the Major League Baseball Players Association, you need to tell these guys just to stop, man. You're not winning that fight that way. That's really, really dumb. But speaking of talking too much, okay? James Harrison. So let me tell you this story, okay, about the Pittsburgh Steelers' former star player, James Harrison. So apparently he was on a Barstool Sports blog, and he was talking about his famous hit on Mohamed Massaquah of the Browns. And he got a helmet-to-helmet hit. He wasn't flagged on the play, but was fined $75,000. It was later reduced to $50,000. And he was telling the story on this podcast for Barstool. He said, quote, the G-est thing Mike Tomlin ever did was he handed me an envelope after that hit on Massaquah. I'm not going to say what, but he handed me an envelope after that. So he left it open to the imagination, but he also left it open to interpretation that maybe he paid for his fine. Which, look, maybe he did. But all of a sudden, it stoked the flames on some sort of bounty gate scandal from 10 years ago or whatever the hell this was. And it so happened that Sean Payton was on a radio station today on 105.7 in the 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore and was asked about this thing. Let me hear Payton.
Well, look, if people are waiting for the league to investigate that, they shouldn't hold their breath. I think, you know, what took place with us back in 2011 in so many ways was a sham, and yet there wasn't a lot we could do with it. You know, the players were vindicated, but from a league or a coaching standpoint, there's no union, there's no representation. But I would be shocked if that'll be something that's tucked away or under the rug at Park Avenue. They'll look into it briefly. I listen, Don't get me started on that.
We're going to get you back in the doghouse,
coach. In salary, and yeah. Honestly, it was something that honestly something I'll never truly get over, because I know how it was handled and how it was run, and how it and the reasons behind it, and that's just the truth.
Now listen, I'd be pissed if I lost $6 million too over something that probably every team in the league was doing. But at the end of the day, you're the one that got caught. You were dumb enough to have it on tape somewhere, and you got caught. It's no different than the Patriots. The Patriots, Spygate, Deflategate, all that stuff, they can deny, but they don't keep talking about it 10 years later. And this thing right now with James Harrison is the biggest non-story ever. If anything, I think it helps the Steelers. Because I think players are like, if it's true, and Mike Tomlin has denied it, and the Steelers have denied it. If it's true, players are like, oh, they got our back. And if it's not true, it's not going to matter. Because it was 10 years ago. And I don't think the NFL right now is worried about what happened 10 years ago. I think the NFL is worried about trying to deal with a pandemic like the rest of us, and in some way, shape, or form, making sure that they can get a season. Because, like a lot of these leagues, they're trying to focus on how to get back on the field or court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, my guess is, allegedly, Mike Tomlin giving James Harrison an envelope, which he didn't say was full of money. We just assume. We were left to the imagination to believe that that was the case. And it probably was the case. Then I don't think they're going to be worried about that right now. They got bigger fish to fry like the rest of us. But again, it's one of those things. It's like, James, I'm glad you didn't necessarily come out and say what you're saying, but don't come out here now like he's doing, trying to blame the media, blowing this thing out of proportion. Dude, you said it. You got to be careful. And I had this pushback yesterday when I was talking about the Blake Snell stuff on Twitter. It was like, oh man, see, this is what happens. Then we can't get these guys to be honest with us ever again. And it's like, no, it's not about that. Social media, podcasts, those guys have platforms. Okay. Those are platforms that we all know are being monitored and listened to, and things blow up very quickly. This isn't 2010 where Twitter was 2 years old, okay, or whatever. This is 2020. That's no longer an excuse not knowing that you're on a podcast and it's going to blow up, or that you're saying something on Twitch or Twitter or YouTube or Instagram and it's going to blow up. Like, that's just not that's not an excuse anymore. Just silly. Bergman, what do you think? Like, this notion of if you say something on a social media account that we shouldn't hold it against guys because they're being honest. I also feel like, yeah, look, we're hypocrites because we need the content, but also you kind of need to know better too. You know what's going to happen.
I mean, aggregation is at such a high right now. There's not, you need to be careful. Every single person, you, George Sedano, anything that you say can be aggregated. It doesn't matter who
you
are anymore.
It's happened a number of times over the years. I mean, honestly, it happens. It's why I literally say, when I know I'm going to say something that's speculation, I start the conversation by saying, please don't aggregate me.
Right, exactly. And anyways, this is all so much different than what happened with Sean Payton. I mean, so James Harrison hits somebody, and then after the game, he's like, all right, here's an envelope. I'm going to pay your fine for you. That's just being cool. It wasn't like, hey, before the game, he said, hit Muhammad Massaquoi, and I'll give you a big pile of money.
Correct.
Right. Exactly. So it's so totally different than what happened with Sean Payton. So they don't even compute.
Laura, are you like annoyed as I am of all these guys who are like going to blame the media for stuff they've actually said? Like, it's not like we're making it up. Those words literally came out of all their mouths.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you can blame the media, but you said it. And it's kind of when, you know, someone cheats in a relationship and they're like, hey, but you did this, so it caused me to do that. It's like, no, those are your actions. Those are your words. Own up to them, because obviously you wanted to say it.
Let me tell you something about this mistrust of the media, and it's become real prevalent. It's a very dangerous slope, and it's a slippery one. Okay? You know, I know I started this by someone insulting me on Twitter saying that I'm anti-labor because I'm Cuban, which is ridiculous. By the way, I'm part of a union. Yeah, Yeah, here, SAG-AFTRA. That's a union. Anyway, take it from someone whose family did flee oppression. you don't know. You don't want anyone trying to just dismiss the media as easily as people dismiss the media in sports or otherwise, for that matter. 877-710-ESPN. Mark is in Thousand Oaks. Mark, what do you got?
I was calling to talk baseball labor, but I had to put the cherry on this James Harrison thing. Like, come on, guys. Not only is this a non-story, wasn't Al Davis as recently as like 30 years ago basically saying in press conferences he would pay guys fine?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. You're right. So it's a nothing burger.
Come on. Everyone's at home looking at their phones, listening to podcasts they wouldn't otherwise listen to. If you say something stupid, it's getting picked up.
Like, correct. Come on.
But speaking of saying stupid things, ballplayers commenting on this low-hanging fruit about pay to me is just the easiest trap to fall into, because the minute they comment on it, the owners get to go back and play that story to about to 40 million Americans who aren't working right now. And they go, see, bunch of greedy millionaires.
Yep,
they don't
you're
care
right.
About and why should we care about them?
Mark, that's exactly my point, is that you fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Like, not only the players, it's one thing.
It's the biggest chicken crap ploy by ownership, and you walked right into it.
Right. Are you a Star Wars fan?
Huge.
General Akbar, right? It's a trap, right? Yeah. Like, that's literally what this is. Mark, have a great day. Stay safe.
You guys as well. Thank you.
All right, Matt. Yeah, it's all I'm saying. Like, I am not anti-labor. I'm just telling you, you fell for the banana in the tailpipe. It's that simple. 877-710-ESPN. And Bryce Harper added something, too. We'll hear from him in a second. Plus, good news for the Lakers, Laker fans. We'll tell you what that's about in just a moment. Stick around. We're back and forth. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN. All eyes on you is all I'm saying if you're a Major League Baseball player. Don't talk about money in public. It's just not a winning proposition. It's not that I'm not on your side. I'm actually trying to help you. Help me help you. Help me help you. I'm digging you, Jerry. It's one of my favorite scenes in a movie. 710 ESPN Radio here on 710 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quote the Home Explorer at Progressive. They got you they got the Progressive Home Quote Explorer, excuse me. It's changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So Bryce Harper apparently went out there to defend Blake Snell. Says he ain't lying. He's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. No one is saying that he's not speaking the truth. You should negotiate the finances. What we're trying to tell you is your approach is stinky. Okay, it's dumb. Don't argue about money in public. Bergman, you sent me a thread from Trevor Bauer, who's super smart, super thoughtful, pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, and he was making an analogy, right, about a painter, that if a painter makes a deal with a landlord who owns a building with, like, let's say 10 apartments, and he says, hey, man, you know, I want you to paint all 10 apartments for $100,000. And five of them get burned in a fire. And he's like, okay, well, I can only pay you $50,000 because there's only five left. He's like, okay, that's fine. And then he says, well, no, because I'm going to lose money on rent. So we're going to split the rent revenue by half. And that's what I'm going to pay you. And Trevor's like, yeah, that's not fair. Yes, Trevor, you're right. That's not fair. But that same analogy should be what you and Tony Clark, the Major League Baseball Players Association rep, should be saying to the owners at the negotiating table, not discussing it on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, when I read his Twitter thread, I was like, all right, well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. The only thing is, though, I agree with you. You just don't talk about money, period, ever. When it comes to anything in public, this is something that is behind closed doors, especially right now in a pandemic.
I just don't think it's that hard to figure that out, man. Like, it doesn't mean that you're anti-labor because you're telling them, hey, man, your strategy stinks. You know what I mean? Like, those are two separate things. Those things are mutually exclusive. Stevie is in Riverside. Stevie, what do you got for me, bud?
Hi. So this whole, like, ball player story makes me so angry. There are millions of people not working. Me and my sister, she's a nurse, I'm a truck driver, are the only people in our family working still. For him to be like, oh, it's not safe. Well, don't work. Don't get paid.
Well, to your point, Stevie, to your point, it's why I said, why is there a price tag on it, right? Like, if you don't feel safe, don't play. Like, I'm okay with that stance. I've said that all along. It's like when Clayton Kershaw said, I don't want to be away from my family, and Mike Trout. I'm like, that's fine. Then don't play. Like, that's – I would applaud
don't make
you.
Millions of dollars. Don't make your $100,000, and they've already been paid for what they're missing. It's not like just sitting at home not being paid. That's
they have made some money. They were paid a pool amount that wasn't what commensurate with their salary, but they were paid something. To your point,
but people are home making nothing.
You're right, but that's why I'm telling you it sounds tone deaf. Like they should Stevie, they should absolutely, and please stick around. They should absolutely talk about this stuff in private. It's what they're supposed to do, because it's what a union is supposed to do. But let the union do their job. Don't try to undercut the union by making these mistakes. And the bigger problem is that the union made the mistake first. Like, they screwed them.
Exactly. It's just, it's so irritating, and it makes me not excited for baseball to come back.
Yeah. Stevie, did you call us once previously and
yes,
honk your horn for us?
Yes, I did. So happy you remember.
I do. I remember that. Can you honk it one more time for us? Yeah. All right, girl. Stay safe, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.
And thank your sister for us, too.
Okay, I will.
All right. There she is, Stevie the truck driver. I like her. She's feisty.
I like that she pulls the horn for you.
Yeah, I do remember that. There's not a lot of – we haven't had a lot of female truck drivers call into the show. We've had
a police officer
from Long Beach. I remember her calling in. We don't get a lot of females, so when we do, I remember them. Got to love the ladies on the show here. Laura, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Speaking of negotiations, if we were agreeing to something, let's say – and we were to lay out a set of rules that we were supposed to agree upon to start. If something wasn't agreed upon during said time to make agreements, and all of a sudden a rule popped up that changed everything about what we had previously agreed to, would you think that's fair if all of a sudden a rule popped up randomly that you and I didn't agree to?
No.
You're nuts.
100% no.
The reason I bring this up, and this is why Bergman's already defensive.
Okay? Yeah,
I'm going to get to the Lakers story here in a second. So Mason and Ireland and I are playing our all-time Dodgers team simulation on MLB The Show. And we played yesterday, and I beat Ireland in the first game 2-0. Okay. And Mason and I played a barn burner. He jumped out early. Clayton Kershaw stunk for me in the second game. He gave up 7 runs. And I did make a comeback into the last inning or so. And Mason ended up winning 7-6. So I asked Bergman on the Twitch discussion, live in front of everyone. Bergman, how does this work if I beat John? But if John, because I asked him, how do we figure this out? Like, who plays in the final? And what did you say, Greg?
I said that it goes by runs.
Most runs scored. And I said, we didn't agree to that. And I said, so you're telling me if John beats Mason in a high-scoring affair and scores more runs than me, even though I've beat him head-to-head, John and Mace will play again in the finals? And you said?
Yes, that's absolutely right, because that's how round robins work.
And I said, we didn't agree to that. And I said, that's bull bleep on Twitch. I texted. I wrote it in front of everyone so everyone could see how angry I was. Laura, is that bull bleep?
It is. You need to tell the rules up front, not when things are happening and then get screwed. Like, what?
Have you guys never been in a round robin before? Did you not play, you know, youth soccer where you were in a round robin?
I did not agree
to an aggregate. You did not state that on the front end.
This is what we did. It was the same rules. The rules have not changed.
I will file a protest if this happens. That's all.
The NBA 2K, we did the exact same rules. No, why would it all of a sudden change?
No, we're talking about a different sport. We did not change that. I don't remember. I don't recall that.
The sport doesn't matter. It's the way that the competition works.
I did not recall that at all. That was not stated. I will ask the audience to play jury here at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you'd like to chime in, is Greg a terrible rulemaker? Terrible commissioner. Is Greg a terrible commissioner? How many people were watching us yesterday before I move on to the Lakers?
We had over 3,000 people on Twitter. And I don't have the numbers for the other ones.
I saw 3,600 on Twitter live. Yeah. And correct. Then, which is pretty damn good. Thank you guys for watching. We ended up total with the basketball one. It was like 30,000 total between the two, right? Something yes. crazy like that.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, Lakers, Dodgers.
Right. Different. I get it. Yeah. I'm with you. I get it. It's also different. And NBA 2K is more fun and it's quicker. So there is that. So real quick on the Lakers, since we mentioned the Lakers, and we'll let people chime in at 877-710-ESPN, either on the baseball stuff, or James Harrison, or Greg being a terrible commissioner for these video games that we're playing. But the Lakers, Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium is reporting good news for your Los Angeles Lakers in their attempt to get back to playing basketball. Here's what Shams said.
The Lakers will reopen their practice facility on Saturday, I'm told, after conversations and clearance from the LA County government and health officials. The Lakers will do so on a limited basis. I'm told not all 7 days of the week will be open to players and personnel, and they will have to follow the NBA's strict guidelines. But for LeBron James and this West leading Lakers team, a team that was hopeful to contend for an NBA championship, this is one small step to some level of normalcy.
That's fantastic news. And it is one step to a slice of normalcy, as we've discussed. And I'm going to tell you why I think that this means something bigger is coming. I'll tell you why in 4 minutes. We're back in a couple of moments. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any one of our interviews this week, there were so many great ones. We have been having a ball. Greg has done a great job. For as much as he's a terrible commissioner, he's done a great job booking the show. The last several weeks. If you missed any one of those interviews, check out the interview on demand section on the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One NA, member FDIC. So real quick, just to finish up the Lakers conversation, if you don't know what we're talking about, Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium is reporting that the Lakers practice facility will open tomorrow. For those that didn't get a chance to hear that when we played it a second ago, here is the 30-second cut of Shams. Okay, maybe not. We'll have it later then. So it's okay. Let me know, Laura, when you have the audio. If you have the audio, I just want people to hear it again because we went to break. I don't want someone who's just tuning in to not understand what we're talking about. So just let me know if it's ready. Shams Charania, Lakers facility. Let me hear
it. The Lakers will reopen their practice facility on Saturday, I'm told, after conversations and clearance from the LA County government and health officials. The Lakers will do so on a limited basis. I'm told not all 7 days of the week will be open to players and personnel, and they will have to follow the NBA's strict guidelines. But for LeBron James and this West leading Lakers team, a team that was hopeful to contend for an NBA championship, this is one small step to some level of normalcy.
All right, so there's that. And that's great news. And here's also great news. Our buddy Rachel Nichols of The Jump is airing an interview today at noon with Chris Paul, who is the leader of the NBA Players Association. And in the interview, Chris affirmed publicly and adamantly for the first time that the NBA players want to return to play. So if you're going to be around at noon right after the show, if you can listen to The Jump on the ESPN app or watch it on your phone, or if you're near a TV or going to be near a TV at noon, you can check it out. Rachel's interview with Chris Paul, where he, again, publicly and adamantly for the first time says NBA players want to return to play. So we are headed in the right direction. This is all good news for getting a slice of normalcy back, as Shams reported there. So there's that. I want to get to some college football stuff because college football is conflicted. But first, let me go to the phones. I got people. I know, Laura, you were busy on the phone, so I apologize for throwing the audio at you in that moment. I didn't realize that you were still grabbing phone calls, but let's go to the phones because I was asking people to weigh in on the Blake Snell thing, or you know, Bryce Harper defending him, or even James Harrison all of a sudden blaming the media for something he said. And basically, we want to know if you think Greg's a good commissioner for not stating all the rules up front in our Dodgers, all-time Dodgers MLB The Show simulation between me, Mason, and Ireland. Am I getting screwed when all of a sudden he's saying that aggregate runs matter, even though I beat John Ireland head-to-head yesterday and lost and went 1-1?
It's Let's round robin. That's how it works.
Let the people decide, all right? The people. This is a show of the people. It's a station of the people. The people decide, not you, corporate Greg. Josh is in Thousand Oaks.
Hey, what's up, Zidano?
What up?
I think you got screwed, and Greg's a terrible commissioner. Obviously, he doesn't know much about round robins. It sounds like he's playing fantasy football, but you drafted pitching. You drafted a defense, and it should be run differential, a simple plus-minus. It shouldn't just be points four. And
yeah.
It's a round robin. It goes head-to-head and then a point differential because you drafted pitching. You should be credited for having pitching.
Thank you. Look how easy that was, Josh. You're a genius, and you're a great American. You, Bergman, you're a terrible commissioner.
Look, obviously you need a new producer. Josh, are you interested in a job as Sedano's new producer?
I just know you being so defensive. I just gave you credit.
Times are tough. I might have some free time.
Thank you, Josh. Stay safe. I just gave you credit for booking the show, and you can't take anything.
I do. You know what? Look, run differential I can agree with. I can go with run differential.
There you go.
I will.
Plus one, Sedano.
I can bend in that situation, but that's just kind of how these things work.
All right, let's go to Nick in Laguna Beach. Nick, what do you think? Nick? Nicholas? Maybe he put us on hold. Anyway. All right, so I think that ultimately, Greg, Josh in Thousand Oaks is right. You're wrong. Are you willing to amend to run differential?
Yes, I am willing to amend to run differential.
Okay,
that's
but
totally
let's see
fine.
If someone else, let's see if someone else in the audience can come up with a better idea. I mean, that's a good one. That's a place to start with Josh and Thousand Oaks. And if Josh and Thousand Oaks ends up being the best possible scenario, then so be it. That's what we'll do.
But there's the only thing that needs to happen, though, is it can't go another day. We can't go into Saturday. It's all done today.
Okay,
the
games are tonight.
That's fine. I know.
At
9
o'clock on Twitter and on Twitch.
There you go.
ESPN Los Angeles, Twitch and Twitter and YouTube accounts. All right. And tell Carlo I need some numbers here. We got to plug this thing. Anyway, speaking of simulations, did you see the Lakers won the simulation over the Bucks in 2K?
Yeah. Yes.
They won the championship. Yes.
They came back from down 3-1. They did the Cavs. Yeah.
I mean, LeBron, he's the master at coming back down 3-1, clearly. All right. One thing I want to get into is college football. So as much as we've talked about the issues with Major League Baseball and basketball and football and whatever, all the professional sports, I don't think we've really talked a ton about college athletics. And it's where I draw the line. And I'm curious to see how you guys feel about this, because one thing is for pros who are getting compensated to risk their lives, right? Like Blake Snell said, which I agree with. Just not the messaging, or the packaging per se. But college kids, come on. Like, we need to draw the line here. So the SEC was talking about a June 1st return for student athletes on campus. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this is insane. Like, there's no way that you can tell me with 100% assurance that it is safe for students to be coming back to school. So I'm like, where are the adults in the room? Because here's the thing. I know you could say, well, look, at 18, I could fight for this country. And you're right. And God bless you if you have. Okay? I think that if you fought for this country or you have been in the military, you deserve all the love and props and adoration and adulation that we can give you. However, players playing football for our entertainment without compensation, while the coaches are the ones making millions and the conferences are the ones making billions, That's different. They don't have a voice. They don't have a union like Major League Baseball. They don't have a union like the NFL or the NBA. So I'm like, where are the adults in the room here? And thank God for Lincoln Riley, the head coach of Oklahoma, because he's the one guy that went out there and talked about how insane all of this was. Laura, play both of those cuts back-to-back of Lincoln Riley.
I mean, all this talk of these schools wanting to bring players back on June 1st is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. And so we got to be patient. We'll get one good shot at it to bring them back at the right time when we're as prepared and know as much about this as we possibly can. I think it would be completely irresponsible of us to bring these guys in. You know, in my opinion, we need to bring them in as late as we possibly can before we play a season. Every day early that we bring them in is a day we could have gotten better. It's a day we could have learned more about the virus. It's a day PPE maybe gets better. It's a day closer to a vaccine. It's a day that our testing equipment and testing capabilities get better, and it's just not worth it.
So spot on. And thank God someone actually said it. And by the way, he's not alone. The Pac-12 has done the right thing. Mike Bone at USC has also done the right thing. But there are certain parts of the country where they're like, nah, man, we want our football. And thank God Lincoln Riley is one pushing back in that neck of the woods. But if you want to hear what USC AD Mike Bone had to say, if you want to hear the Pac-12's position, we'll have that for you in just a second. Plus, two blasphemous stories out of the world of sports and entertainment. We'll tell you what that is in 2 minutes. We're back. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Television. And listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Sincoro Tequila, and our friend at Coors Light. Love our friends at Coors Light. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story of one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily wherever you find your podcasts. So I wanted to get into college football. I don't know if you look, we've been talking a lot about labor, okay? And I love the fact that Lincoln Riley defended players who don't have a voice in college football by saying coming back to play by June 1st or coming to school on campus and start practicing by June 1st like the SEC wants is stupid. It's ridiculous. So I'm glad someone in that part of the country is saying that. Because you just don't have any idea what is happening right now. And look, he said, I think we'll have football at some point this year, but bringing them back too soon, that's dumb. Like, there's no reason to do that. And Mike Bone, the athletic director of USC, has talked about how the Pac-12, and I salute the Pac-12, for having solidarity on this. Let's listen to Mike.
Well, again, I think that each individual institution and each individual system does have their own protocols, their own challenges, their own unique aspects of running their enterprise. And I think that we just need to understand that. I mean, USC and Stanford are two private institutions. The rest of the conference obviously are public, and so that creates unique opportunities and opportunities for alignment. But one thing I'm really proud of is that Larry Scott and the group of athletic directors, and more importantly, the group of presidents, have united in a way that has given the Pac-12 a lot of momentum associated with our health professionals, our doctors, our trainers, and everybody associated with a safe environment for our student-athletes are in alignment. And I think that's really a positive development for us. And, you know, we're fortunate in this conference to have incredible health experts. And that has been a big, big asset for the Pac-12.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, look, we are clearly at a time where different states are going to do different things, and that's part of the way this country was built, and it's understandable. But sometimes when you need unity, it creates challenges. But I'm glad that there are people like Mike Bone and the Pac-12, right? And Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, standing up for what's right for players who are not getting compensated and being asked to do something that does have an inherent risk. Again, it's the whole conversation we've been talking about today. And for 2 days, really. Starting with the Blake Snell stuff. So all I'm saying is that more people need to step up and defend these young athletes because they don't have the union. I belong to a union, SAG-AFTRA. Everyone here at this station does. The Players Association and all the different sports. Like, you got to defend the kids, man, because they don't have the same mechanisms in place that we do. So I'm just glad to hear that someone like Lincoln Riley, Mike Bone, all these guys are actually doing the right thing in this place, in this particular case. Now, I mentioned earlier there are two blasphemous stories. First blasphemous story is this. A Scarface remake? Really? Laura, how are you feeling about a Scarface remake right now?
I don't want it. There's no point for it. I already don't like that we didn't have a Latino playing in the Scarface that I grew up watching. And yeah, I don't think there's a need for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think there's a need either. LZ and I were talking about this during Crosstalk earlier today. Here's the thing. Making one remake, which Scarface, the one with Al Pacino, is a remake of another Scarface movie.
Yep.
Nailing one remake is hard enough. Nailing two is virtually impossible. And it's why, you know, I'm glad we're having Ben on today. Because Ben is, he does our weekly movie review, and we're having him on in the last segment, so around 11:45 or so. And we'll talk to him about this because he's the movie guy. Like, he is an expert movie guy. He was on the biggest movie review show in the world at one point in his life. And he is a guy who is very tied in into the film community. So, I just think, maybe I'm wrong. I would defer to his expertise on this, but I just think it's silly. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of thought behind making something like this. But I will say this. The one thing that caught my attention was the Coen brothers writing it. And the other thing that caught my attention was, and I don't know if this is true or not, because some people say it's fake, but the Michael B. Jordan casting. And immediately people were like up in arms like, I was just waiting for the one person to be racist on Twitter. I'm like, come on, this is going to happen because someone is going to say the thing. And I'm like, dude. Like, immediately I'm going like, and I was like, thank God no one did it publicly, because I'm like, this is the last thing we need right now. We're dealing with a pandemic. We don't need racist people taking more of our time at this particular point. And it's like I told LZ, I was waiting for that person because I was just going to come over the top and be like, psst, there's black Cubans. Psst, there's a lot of black Latinos. Psst. Have you ever seen Big Papi? He's Dominican. He's black. Because I feel like sometimes there are people that just don't understand that you can have black Latinos. So the Michael B. Jordan casting, if he can pull it off, so be it. He's a great actor. But if they choose to go a different route and they want to go, as you said, Laura, with a more traditional Latino, unlike they did with Al Pacino and a bunch of dudes who weren't Cuban or Hispanic or Latino or whatever in the last remake, then they could do Diego Luna or Oscar Isaac or people like that to actually give us the feel of what the last one should have been.
Okay, so I'm okay with Michael B. Jordan because there is Afro-Latinos. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just, I don't think there's a need for the remake itself. You know what I mean? It's kind of what you were saying. And I actually had a conversation with my friend when I saw it, and he was, dude, I would so watch that because of Michael B. Jordan. He goes, I didn't like the one with Al. And I was like, you didn't like that movie? He goes, no, they put a non-Latin guy. He's like, at least Michael B. Jordan, he's like, I think he could pull it off. And I just sat there looking at him. I'm like, there's no point for this movie to be made.
Al Pacino had the worst. Look, he's one of the greatest actors of our lifetime. There is no question about it. I know I've made the joke. I actually went to see him in a play at the Pasadena Playhouse a couple years ago. Like, I love me some Al Pacino. However, it was one of the worst Cuban accents I've ever heard in my entire bleeping life. It just was terrible. It was terrible.
That's
Greg
exactly
Bergman,
what I said.
Do you like Scarface?
I love Scarface. It's a great movie. Okay. I don't mind. I mean, like, Al Pacino was pretty – it was say hello to my little friend. Like, he's not very
wow,
good.
Wow, that was actually way worse than Al Pacino.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they were both bad, you know, so it doesn't matter.
No. He actually – he came sort of kind of maybe close to pulling it off. You were just awful.
Okay, fine. Doesn't change the point that his was really bad too, but so I don't mind that I like the movie itself, but I'm with Laura. I don't like remakes in general. There's very few remakes that I'm like, oh, that was really good.
What is the best remake you've ever seen? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Hit us up on the phone. Coming up next, I didn't get to one of the blasphemous takes that's out there. That was the entertainment one. There's one when it comes to the world of sports, and it involves my boy Stephen A. Smith, who has lost his damn mind. That, something that could help the Dodgers, and Rob Manfred also laying more groundwork to Major League Baseball's return. We'll let you hear about that all coming up. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN.